Lecture 12, Selfish Genes and Intelligent Design.
We've made it to our last lecture. Let me use this last lecture to summarize where we are today in the developing history of the theory of evolution. And I'm going to use a few more quotes today to let some of the current participants speak for themselves. The American debate over organic origins continues at many levels. Evolutionary biologists debate how evolution works. Social scientists debate how it impacts human behavior, human nature, as it were. And the public debates if it works at all. Let's deal with each of these three today in our lecture. First, virtually all academic biologists agree that species evolve from pre-existing species, and most acknowledge only materialistic factors and forces at work in the process. The disagreements are in the details. Two major areas, but they're the two major areas that we've been hearing about echoing throughout this entire course from the very beginning. Fossils and altruistic behavior. Let's look at fossils first. Failing to see sufficient gradualism in the fossil record to fit a neo-Darwinian pattern, paleontologists Stephen Jay Gould and Niles Eldridge offer a punctuated equilibrium model for evolution. Look at it, they say. The fossil record displays long periods of stability or equilibrium for organisms, punctuated by their rapid replacement by related types, not the gradual branching pattern suggested by the individual selectionism of orthodox Darwinism. Eldridge and Gould account for this by proposing that small, isolated populations of species might evolve rapidly through individual selection and, if then better adapted, could rapidly replace a parental type. Gould adds that developmental constraints within embryos might channel the course of development, that if embryos are designed a certain way, if you had changes, you could only adapt, you could only evolve in a certain direction that the embryo permits, the gradual development. So this might channel the course of variations totally independent of environmental factors, somewhat akin to what was once posited by orthogenesis. Now, small genetic changes impacting embryos would then, Gould posits, open up whole new directions of development that would have the impact almost akin to mutations, thereby causing sharp breaks and new directions in evolution. Punctuated equilibrium accounts for the seeming discontinuity of the fossil record within a fundamentally Darwinist and a purely materialistic framework. I said the other area where there's been ongoing discussion among biologists is altruistic behavior. Ever since the days of Darwin, people have wondered, how could Darwin altruistic behavior have evolved in a Darwinian process? This has long been an area of disagreement among Darwinists and a refuge for theists. Darwin maintained that selection operated on an individual level, and he struggled to explain why individuals would sacrifice themselves for their species. We could see why one might or another might. They might have some sort of basis that would cause them to do so, but then those wouldn't survive, and they wouldn't reproduce that type. So how could it continue to survive? The selfish, in the Darwinian world, should triumph and survive. So think of a bird that calls out and saves other birds by calling out when it sees the coming of a hawk. Well, that bird is sacrificing for the others. How could that trait, that calling out, have survived? Now, the best example of this, what exemplified the whole problem for Darwin, and really ever after in evolutionary thought, is social insects.